Your name tonight because of that cross at Calvary. And Lord, we thank you for blessing. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and all your mercy and all your grace toward your people. Lord, truly you've done great things for us. We're upward, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we're able to draw aside tonight and come to your house to call upon your name and to gather around your word. And we pray, Lord, you'll be one of our number as we gather together in that name, the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just give you thanks, Lord, for this day. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you'll bless us as we come around your word tonight. And even when we come to pray later, Lord, that you would pour out upon us a spirit of prayer and intercession with supplication, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you're a God that hears and answers prayer. Lord, tonight we think of Sister Sharon. We ask you, Lord, to touch her. We ask you, Lord, to make her strong, to make her well. And Lord, for all those who are ill tonight and need your touch, Lord. Lord, we think especially, Lord, of Lauren. We think, Lord, of Sister Lauren, Lord. And we think, Lord, of Linda's dad, Lord. Lauren's dad also, Lord. Oh God, you're the healer. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring our petitions to you and just leave them at your feet. Lord, we just pray, God, that you would give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you, Lord, you'll confirm your word among us, Lord, with signs following the preaching of your word. And help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank tonight of the McGill family, Lord, who are mourning at this time. We pray, Lord, you'll be their comfort and you will, Lord, speak to people, Lord, concerning their eternal welfare, where they're going to spend eternity. In Jesus' name, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, for it belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let me sing one more course before Tommy comes. Sing that be one. That's a favorite one of mine. My brother Charles has written down here. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. I'm just thinking, I don't know if anybody knew that young fella, Adrian McGill, but he worked down the spar in the Dromore Road. And then he was there quite a while, and I knew his mum years ago. In fact, I think his mum used to go to the Elam Church way back years ago, and he may have went to the Sunday school a while, but then he was working down there in the spar on the Roa Road, and he got bad news. He had cancer, and he got to be then. He wasn't able to go to his work and come to work. And I actually went to see him one night, and it was terrible because I went to the house where he used to live, and he'd moved house. And you know, I never found out where he lived, and I heard about him. Different people was telling me about him, how ill he was and all that, and I just never got to see him. I went one night, and I went to the wrong house, and there was nobody in the house. But there was a neighbour came out, and the neighbour said to me, no, them people doesn't live there. And I never found out where he was living. But he's somewhere in eternity tonight. You know, we need to seize the opportunity, don't we? When we get the opportunity, we need to go for it, because you never know. It's not right. You could speak to someone about anything, and it could be the last time you'll speak to them on this earth. Isn't that right? The next time you hear, tell them they mightn't be here. They'll be gone. Their life's short. So it is. Praise the Lord. Well, thank the Lord, beareth them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Glory to God. Let's sing this for them. Tommy's going to come. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. Praise his name. If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. Praise the Lord. You know, you miss the overhead. But you know, when you have the overhead, you become lazy. That's probably not the right word to say. But you become dependent upon it. Isn't that right? You know, we should train ourselves if we don't need it. We will not do it, but we should. I'm an old timer now. I can remember going into church and people could have sang and they didn't need the overhead. And even without the book. You know, some of these hymns that I'm singing, I can't see the pages now as well as I used to. And I can't see it quick enough to sing it. Now, thank you, Eileen, because I started off that last one on the same hymn. I was singing the same hymn the second time. But we ought to, you know, what I was going to say is, some of these old hymns, I remember the words. I remember them. And I'm sure Sister Ray is the same. I can sing them, and I can't see the book, but I can still sing them. And you know, when you get them in your heart, thank the Lord for that. I need to stop talking. We need to sing it, because Tommy's going to have to say, right, well, let's go home. Praise the Lord. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Passing this way, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is passing this way.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. God bless Brother John. And I think Gary's running late, but he hit his van and the mirror of the van as well. That's what happens sometime when you're running late. But may the Lord bless him and everything will be all right, praise God. We want to turn to Colossians chapter 1, and really enjoyed the service Sunday morning. And I know the Lord spoke to a lot of people, and we really appreciate the Lord, amen. I want to try and continue the night in His blood, and it's just some thoughts. We know all these things, and I'm not going to be long tonight. I won't try and hold you too long tonight, but let's read Colossians 1, verse 14. Colossians 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Heavenly Father, we just bow again before You in Jesus' precious name, and we say amen to everything that's been prayed tonight. We thank You for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your love and Your truth that You have showed toward each and every one of us. Lord, not one of us could stand tonight if it hadn't been for Your precious blood. We're glad for Your precious blood tonight, the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb tonight, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost. I need Your Spirit, more of that same Spirit. And Lord, each one of us, we need more of that same Spirit. And we ask for it and we receive it in Jesus' precious name. Lord, cover all with Your precious blood in this room tonight. And those that couldn't be here tonight, be with them. I think of Gary, that You'll be with them. And just undertake in every situation. And any others that couldn't be here tonight, be with them and undertake. And those that ask for prayer, where You touch them and heal them in Jesus' precious name, Lord, and have Your way in all of our lives. I think again of the McDonald family. Bless Sister Karen and all the boys and the girls as well, and especially Timothy and his wife to be. Bless them. And Lord, just may all be well, Lord, and meet their every need. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, I mentioned briefly the last night about the three crosses. And there was a cross on the left which represented the guilty, the unrepentant thief that rejected the Lamb. So he was facing the judgment of God and condemnation. Romans 1 verse 3 tells us that. And then the man in the middle was the guiltless, innocent Lamb of God. That was a cross in the middle. And He took our place. And He was instead of Barabbas. And the people was asked, whom do you that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And He took the place of a guilty world. The guilty world. He died for all. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And Romans 5 tells us that He done that for our reconciliation. Then you have the man on the right-hand side of the cross, and he was a guilty, repentant sinner. He was guilty, but he repented. The Spirit of God moved on him, and he repented. He had broken the law. He was under the penalty of death, but he accepted the Lamb of God by faith. And he, because of faith, like Abraham of old, he received the righteousness, and he received pardon. And he received paradise, justification, Romans 4. And the love of God and the grace of God was shown till that man on the cross. And then tonight we see in Colossians 1 verse 14, in whom we have redemption. And the word redemption means to buy back out of a marketplace where the price provided. And you know, whether it's a marketplace in the natural, that is, but we were lost and we were sold out under sin because of Adam. But Jesus Christ with His blood redeemed us. He bought us back and He paid the price through His blood. That's why 1 Peter 1, and we'll read it in a moment, 18 to 19. Well, we'll just read it now, read it for you. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we were redeemed back with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's worth more than silver, it's worth more than gold, it's worth more than anything. Thank God for the blood. If there's no blood, there's no redemption. But he's redeemed us back. He's brought us back. Praise God. We that were away from God, and he's brought us back with his own blood. And then also, not only did he buy us back, and it's also the same, really, he paid the ransom price. There was a price that had to be paid to buy us back, and that's a ransom. And the redemption plan dealt with a ransom. It dealt with a ransom. And we were under ransom to the devil, to the enemy. We were held a ransom by a thing called sin. But Jesus Christ took our sin, all of it, on himself. And think of that tonight. Spurgeon's the man that said the past, the present, and the future, he takes it all. He pays for all of it on the cross. Past, present, future. God, foreknown all things, can do that. Amen. And he paid for it all on the cross, and he become our ransom. He paid that price for us on the cross. Mark 10, verse 45 says this: "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." So he didn't come for himself. He didn't go to the cross for himself. And if you were to go into the old type of the old priest, the old law, that priest had to offer for himself first, then for the people. But Christ's whole offering was for us. None of it was for himself. I tell you this, you know, people talk about, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, where people wanted to have a wee bit for themselves and for somebody else, you know. But Jesus gave it all for us. It was none of it for himself. It was all for us. He gave his life's blood. And Leviticus tells us that Leviticus 17, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus shed his life's blood to pay our ransom so that he could redeem us back. 1 Timothy 2, 5 to 6 says this: "For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now God can save all tonight that'll come. The availability is there. Now we know, and God knows more than us. God knows who will come and who won't come. We believe that. We don't know who they are, but the availability is there for all. But all won't come. Just like the availability was there when they could have released Jesus. We know it was the will of God that he wasn't released. But think of Paul as well. When he talked to that, was it King Agrippa? And he said, "I'll call on you some more convenient season." But you never read of him coming. You never ever read of that man coming. But he was moved. And you know, those people can be moved with the gospel. And you, that's a terrible thing, you know. Because they've heard it and they've been moved. And if they don't ever do anything about it, one day they're going to be like the thief on the one side of the Lord that went to his grave condemned. And isn't it great, like our brother John said at the start, you know, when if you're a believer, even if you go to the grave, you're not going condemned, you're going as a saint of God. You're going as a child of God. You're going absent from your body, present with the Lord. You're going to go straight into the presence of the Lord, even when you die, because you're born again. But the unsaved souls goes to a place of torture and torment. For the worm dieth not. That's a real place, torture, torment, hell. And then at the end of all that, there's a judgment. They're going to be able to give an account and everything. There's a judgment. Then they're cast into the lake of fire at the end of it, which is the second death. And you know, the Bible says, we're not to fear the one that's power to kill, not just the body, but have fear him that's power to take the soul also. And because we're born again, we have eternal life. We're sealed. We're sealed. So our destination's certain because we're sealed onto the day of redemption. Amen. Ephesians tells us that. We're sealed onto the day of redemption. Praise God. Now, there's this word reconciliation as well. Also, you know, Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 21. Now, I know we know these words and signs, but just I want to finish off on it. Just a few thoughts from what I was sharing over the last few services on his blood. And I didn't develop this anymore because when every time I kept looking at it, it kept getting more and more. You could keep going with it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 21. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So this ministry of reconciliation is through the Lord. So as we go, as anybody that goes, you're going as the Lord's ambassador. That's the Lord's spokesperson. Amen. Didn't Jesus say these words, and I love them, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And Jesus was sent, he was a sent one, and when we're called, and the disciples of Jesus, the Lord said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. When they were sent, they were his ambassadors. They were on the king's business. Amen. And if you're really on the king's business and you've really been sent, the Lord's with you. Now, if you send yourself, that's a different thing. You know, it's like I said, when Reinhard Bonnke came here to Northern Ireland, I wasn't meaning he shouldn't have came. He was still a man of God that came. But God called him to Africa. That was his real call into Africa. And when he went to Africa, mighty things happened. They didn't happen here the same. And you know I'm telling the truth when I say it. The organization that brought him thought that they didn't raise enough money when he came. And that was one other reason as well. And that's the truth. That's true. They didn't think they raised enough money. So they were looking at the money, not what was happening. Now, God still moved in the meeting, don't get me wrong. People still get saved and all, but not to the extent of Africa. But you have to understand, God visited that man and told him Africa will be saved and millions will come. Millions. And he saw that. He saw it. And many times he went all around Africa, different places, and the tents got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger till the tent couldn't even hold them no more. There was multitudes. And the big, massive speakers, like they were massive. I heard of a fellow when I was in one of the countries in Africa. And he was in jail. And he was 2 miles away from the meeting. And he could still hear it. And he heard Bucky preaching on the interpreter 2 miles away through the bars in the jail. And he got saved. And that fellow became a powerful man of God himself. And a pastor of a big church. Isn't that some testimony? Now, Reinhard Bonnke would never knew nothing about him. Now, you think of the numbers what he did know about, but there was people he never knew about. And I tell you, that's the real word of reconciliation, isn't it? We have people in government over here, and they talked a while back about reconciliation. It's impossible. Without Jesus Christ, there's no reconciliation. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ we have real reconciliation. Real peace is not right. You see, the Bible says when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will fall on them. Amen. And when they think it's going well, sudden destruction will fall on them. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation with the sins of the people. And I tell you, that was his sacrifice that appeased God, that God was pleased with, so that me and you could come. We're only able to come because of what Jesus done. That's why we're able to come. That's why we don't need any other priest. His work is sufficient. That's why he said it's finished. It can't be added to, and it can't be taken away from. You see, these words together constitute the full truth of the atoning work. Of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that atoning, that sinless Christ took our sins and iniquities and suffered the wrath of God. So all the judgment that should have been on mankind, Jesus took it. And you see, even the man that's not saved tonight, he doesn't know it. But all that's on him, Christ has actually took it. And all that man or woman has to do is accept it. The Lord's already took the price for them. He's paid the price for them. Amen. And I tell you, we need to be praying for our loved ones that God opens their eyes. And it says in the Bible that the Lord would open their understanding that they might come to the saving knowledge of the truth. And that's what we need to pray. God will open their understanding. And if God doesn't open the understanding, when we can't do it, it has to be the Spirit of God, doesn't it? Amen. And like John says, we need to take every opportunity, and whatever that opportunity arises, take it and do our part, and then God will do his part. Amen. You see, the righteousness of the Holy God was receiving in himself the penalty of sin, which was death. And Christ received in his body the penalty of sin, which was death. He died that we could live. He died. We will never die, us as born again. The physical body might go if the rapture doesn't take place. But you can't actually die. You have a soul that's been redeemed. Now the Lord, the body's going to be picked up as well, you know, and when we come back king and queen. We know that, and the graves are going to open and everything. And we don't know, the rapture could take place, the catching up. And we mightn't even see the natural death. We could miss it as well. Isn't that wonderful? The coming of the Lord's at hand. And when we see the world, the condition the world's in tonight, and the coming of the Lord's at hand, and you cannot believe the news. It's fake news. There's a country recently, and they had it on the live news, that the hotels were blown apart, and there was waves and all sorts of stuff in it. It was on the news and everything. And my Sharon's sister-in-law in England's son had went over to that country on his birthday, and he was lying at the side of a swimming pool, and you could see the two legs in the photograph. And he says that he hasn't seen nothing. And he's right beside where the news was saying all this was happening back over here. And I know a man works for all that bombings and wars meant to be in Ukraine, is it? And he says not a word of the half of it. He says the half's not happening what we're told. He says he's over there working, and he can go and come back and go into hotels and everything. And you see, we can't believe all the news. Now, I'm not saying there's not war. There's war. But everything's blown out of proportion. It's like the COVID. What about the fake news with COVID? Sure, they had bin bags lined up, and these were bodies lying for miles. And all these dead. If half of it was true, the world would have been half wiped out. It was lies. The half of it was lies. And our half wasn't true either. And that's the truth. Now, the fact that people were not saying it didn't, but it never done what they claimed. And then all these vaccines brought in, and sure, what's it done? What has it done? It's made no difference to anybody, really. And people say, if you hadn't got the vaccine, one fellow said to me, oh, but if only for the vaccine you'd have had it. I says, well, I never got the vaccine, and I'm all right. And he wasn't well himself, and he got all the vaccines. And then an old woman, she got about four, and she was going for a fifth one. How many vaccines do you need? When we get vaccines at school, you get one. That was it. How many, you know, for... And there's some vaccines that are good. I'm not saying every vaccine's bad. There's some that's... We know that. Polio. You could get the thing for polio and then you wouldn't have had it. And we know a man that had it when he was a lad. And his leg never was right. And he wished he'd had the vaccine. So there's things there that work. And William Branham said it was God that lets, it's still God's the healer. Like penicillin. Penicillin's a great thing. Penicillin's helped millions of people. So there's things that are good. But when you hear of someone that's been tampered with, and some of the stuff that we heard about, well, that is there's a red flag up, isn't there? Amen. You see, in contrast to the previous covenantal sacrifice, the Old Testament, which were unwilling animals. They weren't willing.
You had to catch the lamb and sacrifice it and the goat and everything. They weren't willing sacrifices. They were unwilling. They didn't want to die. Christ's new covenant offering was his own voluntary will. He said, I lay my life down and I take it up again. A part laid down. Look at Psalms 40, verse 68. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book that is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He came to do his Father's will. He delighted to do the Father's will. And we as Christians should delight to do the Lord's will. I'm going to read you Hebrews 10. I'm going to read a few verses and then I'm going to close and we're going to have a time of prayer. Just whoever wants to pray, and then we'll get our brother John to come then after that again and maybe sing a hymn before we go. But appreciate those that's come tonight. Hebrews 10, verse 1 to 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which he offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, that's Christ, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifice for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he says, sacrifice and burnt offerings, an offering for sins thou wouldest not, neither is pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And you see, when any man, whether it's a priest down the road or wherever he is, any other man that re-offers is saying, this is not enough what the Lord's done. The Lord has took everything else out of the way. And what the Lord's saying is, this is it. This is the final offering you're ever going to need. You'll never need another offering. This one's the best one. God made himself a body. And he came to that body. He came to his temple, which was Christ. And he died on the cross. And he gave himself for us. Verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Isn't that wonderful? You know, once and for all through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't the Lord wonderful tonight? Let's come for a time tonight and pray, and I want you to feel free to pray this evening and just ask the Lord whatever's on your heart and pray for the different ones that's already been mentioned. Sharon tonight was wanting to come and then she took a faint turn before she came out. And I was running so late and everything, and just the enemy, isn't it? It's just the enemy. And all these different people that's had attacks of the enemy. And we need to do what Margaret said to me in Switzerland. When anything went wrong, she'd say, Brother Tom, it is an attack. Now, she had an accent. I used to love it the way she said it. It's an attack of the enemy, Tom. We need to pray. And I tell you, when me and her got together and prayed, she run a wee place where youth would come for like holidays, Christian youth. She was a widow woman. She's quite an age of a woman. And she knew how to pray. And one time they put her bins out in this big place where there's water. And they're floating out in it and she couldn't get them out in it. And we prayed and I asked the Lord to let the water recess back. That wasn't a sea. This is like a lake where it doesn't go up or down in water. But I'm telling you what, it recessed. The water disappeared. So many feet of it back. And you could see for it went back to it. And she was able to get the bins and just wheel them out. And the next morning they went back to normal. Now that's what God's able to do. But Margaret believed it.
Margaret believed it. You say, why, I don't know, but look, it's like I said to brothers the other night, Wigglesworth went with a man to pray for a man that was dead. And he lifted him out of a coffin 6 times and he fell dead back into it. And the fellow with Wigglesworth says, you know, Wigglesworth, that's enough. He's dead. And Wigglesworth turned round and told him to shut his mouth up. That's what he said to him. And when you read about it, they say ignorance, Wigglesworth was sharp and he was ignorant. And he told him, shut up. I know what God told me. And the boy was in shock that was with him. Any of us would have been. And the 7th time he lifted him, that man came alive. And before he went up into the room to pray for him, he told his wife what clothes and stuff, what he'd need warm clothes on. She'd better warm him on the fire over the thing you swing out over the fire, get them warmed up, because he'd been needing them. God raised him from the dead. Amen. What about wee Dixon Condozie that most of us knew? The people came and they travelled to his house. Their son died. And they travelled to his house and they got a hold of him. And Dixon said, it's too late. The lad's dead, but I'll come to the funeral. Now Dixon told me, says that he didn't go to pray to raise him from the dead. He was going to the funeral. And he got there and they took the lid off the coffin and the lad was in it. And Dixon just prayed a prayer. He didn't ask God to raise him or nothing. He just prayed a prayer to help the family and everything. And when he said amen, the dead man said amen. And they cancelled the funeral. Now, I know it's hard to believe. But I was with him when Bishop was in them machines down in Dublin. And they told us he's actually really dead. The machines is only making his body functional. He won't come out of here. And Dixon prayed, just a simple prayer. And that Sunday, the next day, he was preaching for us across from the police station at Balm Bridge. And he stopped in the sermon and he said, Bishop has come out of the coma now. The Lord's touched him. And George ran out, Stringbreaker George, you all know George from Dublin. He rang out and he rang the hospital and the nurse said he's just come round. And that fella came and gave us testimony in our meeting. And he told about going over the other side and getting the white garment and he almost lost it. Isn't that amazing that he lost that white garment? And he's not even serving the Lord today. And God raised that man back from the dead and he's not even serving God. And he's went against many things we believed. But God still raised him. God answers prayer. Now God can do that. God can do anything. So I want you to pray and believe the night in faith. Amen. That the Lord can do anything. He's paid the full price for it. With his wounds, stripes, we're healed. Amen. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. We'll seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight. That you've never changed. Lord, we come against the devil straight away. And we ask you that the Lord rebuke you, Satan, tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord rebuke you of our children, of our wives, of our husbands, of our sons or daughters, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, all that's near and dear to us. We say the Lord rebuke the enemy tonight in Jesus' precious name. We plead the life for this blood, the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ and all that's near and dear to us tonight. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them. And we put between them and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ. And we ask for mercy, Lord, and grace, Lord. And we pray that you'll spur them and you'll speak to them. And those of them that's not saved, that you'll open their understanding to the saving knowledge of the truth and bring them in, Lord, and deliver them, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, for my own wife's already been praying, for Derek Hines, for Robert, Lord, for any others that's maybe hasn't been mentioned, touch every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight, let the Holy Ghost go upon them now, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Father, bless everyone in this room tonight. Bless them. Meet their every need. Prosper them and do them good in Jesus Christ's name. We thank you for the testimonies in this past week, and we just bless your name, Lord Jesus, that you do hear and answer prayer. We thank you that we have an advocate with God the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. We thank you tonight for the power of your blood, and we bless your name, Lord Jesus. So powerful is your blood. Wash every one of us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God tonight. Lord, bless this service, bless each one, and those, Lord, that come to the meetings that's maybe not here tonight, the sisters, the brothers, the children. We claim your precious blood in every one of them. We ask for your protection over them and over their families, and you'll prosper them and be with them in Jesus' precious name, and just have your way in each and every one of our lives, Lord. And Lord, for the meetings that lay ahead, just have your way in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just let's continue to seek the Lord tonight. Praise God.